Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Toughest postseason climb in the history of the sport. And after all that, it's Ohio State together at the mountaintop, champions of college football.
Chris Fowler on the call along with Kirk Herbstreit. That game on ESPN, of course, the National College Football Championship, and Ohio State winning the first 12-team CFP playoff national championship. They beat the Notre Dame. They beat Notre Dame 34-23.
Yeah, and they were also the first team to win a 4-team playoff as well.
Yeah, they were. Beat Bama in the Sugar Bowl that year in 2014.
Yeah, and then beat Oregon in the title game.
And Cardale was there last night as well.
Yeah, well, he don't play school, just football.
No, he doesn't.
I'll always love that because he was the first person that really openly embraced it. I mean, everybody, I think others did, but he just came out and said, I don't play school. I'm here to play football.
Yeah.
And he did.
He let it eat out there. No, man, you're right. It's he obviously was an incredible talent. I know that it was a star-studded event last night down at Mercedes-Benz. A lot of people in town, you know, I heard that Urban Meyer got the loudest ovation. I was reading that from a number of different people that said the place went nuts when they showed him. But yeah, man, I mean, hats off to Ohio State. They're definitely, we said it all here, they're the most talented team in the country. They had a couple of hiccups, obviously, along the way. You know, I got asked last night, somebody hit me up and goes, you know, if Bama lost to Auburn and still won the Natty, would you still be as excited? And I was like, it literally happened 8 years ago, and I was just as excited as I would have been, you know, otherwise. So I know that Ohio State and Ryan Day just riding the wave right now, man, as well they should be. They definitely deserve it. Definitely the best team in college football at the end of the day.
Well, the hardest hit that that Will Howard took last night was in the back seat of a golf cart. I don't know if you've seen this, but
oh my gosh, dude!
They've got Ryan Day. It's one of those stretch golf carts. So there's like three rows or four rows, and there's a young lady who I do not know. I'm not sure if she's part of the building or the college football playoff, but she's driving the golf. She's driving them to their press conference. Tiff, you know how this is. They take all these guys down at once at these big games, these championship games, and she is taking a turn, and I guess she thinks she's got a turn radius, and she doesn't have it. She absolutely just hammers
like my wife driving my
the
truck.
Wall at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Such, and the way the tires were pointed, she basically broke the golf cart, and it was stuck. And Ryan Day almost went through the windshield.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
The best part is there's the guy filming it. There's a guy screaming at Ryan Day like, "You blank and deserve this. I'm so proud." Wham!
He's yelling because Ryan Day is going to ride off.
Yeah.
Hey, you deserve boom.
Yeah, it was.
Ryan Day's like, we can talk.
I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you.
It's one of those things where that girl definitely texted her friends afterwards and said, "Oh, period, my period, God, period." Like, what just happened?
I think I just got fired.
I think I just got fired.
It's
but
hilarious.
I know that Ryan Day had to feel a massive, I don't want to call it sense of relief, but just sense of elation after what was happening and some of the stones he's taken, you know, hurled at him this year. So it is. It's awesome to see. And you love that Ryan Day, it's like not like a comeback story, but it seems like, you know, he's just been to the depths of places after losing that many games in Michigan in a row. But you win the national title, you kind of get that crown, and you'll always be that national championship coach.
But everybody asking the questions we've talked about on our show, you know, will he still be the head coach next year? And the more I even was thinking about it yesterday, but before the game, it's kind of like, just look at his track record. Like, it's just that I know they did not beat Michigan, right? Last 4 years, whatever it is. It's kind of a dumb question to ask.
It is and it isn't, though. It is. You're right. It is because the guy's got 10 losses. He's 70-10 now in his career there, now with a national title. But just go back a month ago, Tiff, and he just lost to Michigan for the fourth straight year. And had it not been a program that doesn't have a precedent of firing successful coaches who either don't win national titles or beat Michigan, is it that crazy of a question?
Yeah. When you phrase it like that, no. But on the outside, looking at the numbers that you just mentioned, it's like why would you not want that person leading your program? I feel like for him, because he's used the quote before, Ohio against the world, and I know a lot of people throw that around, I almost feel like it's not even the comeback thing, rather than it's more of, you know, I showed you guys.
Yeah, you asked Friday, Mike, who's a better coach, Ryan Day or Marcus Freeman in buy or sell? And when I look at Marcus Freeman, when I just watch him, yeah, what did I say?
Buy or sell.
It's all. Wrong show. When I look at Marcus Freeman, just when they do a pregame cutaway, I just go, man, if I was could go back and actually be good at something and I was playing college football, I'd go play for that guy.
Yeah.
He just just watching him interact with his players, I like everything about him. But when you asked me that, I started thinking about it and I go, well, I can't say right now that he's a better coach than Ryan Day. They both took over similar situations. I think Ryan Day's was a little bit worse off at the time just because of the stuff with Urban Meyer. When Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, I thought it was a little better situation, but not much. We're splitting hairs.
The coach stuff I know is what you're talking about, but you can also look at the talent. And so with that being said, does now Notre Dame become even more competitive next year? Everyone got to see their coach. Everyone got to fall in love, you know, with how he coached and how he interacted with his players. That was a big topic everywhere I turn. That he made Notre Dame likable. So are they going to get more money now, which I'm, you know, they have it?
Well,
go get some more players. They'll be back in this mix next year, you think?
The best thing for Notre Dame is, to go back to the Cardale Jones thing, is we're no longer acting like these kids need to play school. They're playing football, and it's pretty much all that matters. And I don't know I know Notre Dame had some good money in NIL. I don't think it was Ohio State money. That's,
maybe it is now.
Well, it might be, and it also just helps that we don't live behind the facade that they have to be student athletes like they used to.
Yeah.
I think that helps Notre Dame more than anything because it's not an easy school to get into. It's not an easy school to attend. It is a tough school. As far as, you know, I'm not going to say it's Ivy League, but it is a school of higher learning.
There's no doubt about it. And Tiff, I think your question, can they get more time? I don't think anybody knows. Like, I think it's impossible to kind of forecast what we'll be dealing with in terms of this team next year. Like, you, from year to year, and how many times we see kids nowadays, hey, love it here, but I had to make a business decision. Remember Miami's head basketball coach that resigned, a month ago? He's like, after we made a Final Four run, had seven guys that wanted to transfer, and they're like, hey, love you. Hey, love it here. Love Miami. Good team. But, you know, I got to make a business decision. So, that there will be players that get poached from there. They will probably bring in better talent as well, and you'll be dealing with a situation where you're without Riley Leonard or whoever else, and you'll have to move on from that and try to recapture that magic. And so I think that's the beauty of having Ryan Day, is he has shown the ability to move into this next era of college football when a lot of coaches haven't. And that'll be kind of Marcus Freeman's next task, is to prove that he can rebuild this roster year in and year out and have quality players come back to that program.
Yeah, I that could be the case. But I look at the Marcus Freeman aspect of it. Is he enough? And, Bo, you just pointed it out, too. You'd want to go play for that guy. Is that enough with a little bit of money to make some star players kind of rethink this whole, maybe the NIL thing?
Yeah, I think that they know that they'll get paid, and whether it's maybe not quite as much as somewhere else. But let's not forget what Riley Leonard is. He is a transfer player that showed out to be a star at Duke, and for what they were, helped them win a lot of games. And he's not the best pocket passer at all. Neither one of these guys were just out of this world pocket passers, but they both could do it. They could do what the college game needs, is a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And so I think if you look at the Riley Leonard model, that might be their model next year for a quarterback. And yeah, I think people will want to go play for him. They wanted to play for him when he got the job, and there's nothing that shows that. I mean, their best player was Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and no doubt people are obviously going to want to go play at Ohio State, because you'd assume now that Ryan Day is going to still be the head coach there. And after he navigated through what could have been a difficult season after that Michigan loss, but the team pushed on.
The story gets to get told now, and it's a great story about a bunch of guys who have just overcome some really tough situations. And there's a point where there's a lot of people that counted us out, and we just kept swinging and kept fighting. It's the reason why you get into coaching, is to see guys overcome things, learn life lessons, and then reach their dreams. This is what happened tonight.
And that was Kirk Herbstreit, right?
That was, that was Ryan Day. That was, again, courtesy of ESPN. But, you know, I had Ohio State twice. I had them in the Rose Bowl a couple of years back, had a regular season game last year. And in my interaction with Ryan Day, yeah, like he remembers everything. Right. He remembers what's being said about this team. And you heard him bring it up in that. And I believe in my even in the Rose Bowl interview after the game, I think he kind of alluded to the same thing, because that was another year, of course, where they were calling for his head, and because they only made it to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. He's the one thing I'll give Ryan Day is he's been treated very unfairly at times by the national media because these expectations that have been put on him. Now, look, it's a top-tier program, so that's what comes with it. But it's felt at times like it was just a little bit unfair with the expectations. And I just can't help but think, but if you did not want Ohio State to be national champion, and I know there's a lot of Michigan fans that are upset. I was talking to James in Twin Peaks. He's a Michigan guy, Michigan fan. Michigan has no one to blame but themselves for the Ohio State national championship, because if they don't do this flag planting stuff, I think it really set Ohio State off. And it probably also set the team off, because they thought they had to play for their coach's job.
I will say, and go back to your first comment, you said that, you know, the national media has been kind of unfair to Ryan Day. I don't see it that way at all. I think most of the people I've listened to in the national media, I know that, you know, Coach Saban went off about it yesterday on game day. Most of the people in the national media are like, Ohio State fans are a little bit unfair to Ryan Day.
I'm not sure if as much as I love Saban, I know he's a part of the media now. He's not. He's still a coach, and he's going to view it the way a coach should, with the way people.
I think that's been that's been the overarching rhetoric around Ryan Day. I haven't seen many national media members go after him. It's been mostly
the writers been a little bit after him, and I've seen it.
National writers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's where that helps push the fan narrative, but
yeah.
But again, unfair or not, you're put in that position. You're paid $10 million a year to win titles and to beat your rival.
Now he has.
And I was one of the people that said that. I thought if he didn't make the national title game or win it, he could be fired. And I still think that was true.
So you think he's back next year?
Oh, hell yeah.
I think that goes without saying.
The
only way he's not back next year is if he decides not to be back next year.
He just bought himself 5 years.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
You know, and this is another era where he should make the playoff. Ohio State and Georgia, Notre Dame is starting to pull in that because of where they're at with the conference. Those teams should be playing in the college football playoff every single year.